All right, so before we get to today's prophecy update, I just wanted to quickly mention that I won't be here next Sunday. That's May 13th. It also happens to be Mother's Day. Pastor Mac will be filling in for me, and I'll be back on the following Sunday, Lord willing, which is May the 20th, for our next prophecy update. Also, this is probably a good time to mention that we are in the process of restructuring all of our social media, and we appreciate your patience with us as we do. We're hoping to make some pretty major changes as the church has grown and the ministry, certainly online, has grown. We want to kind of catch up to it, so appreciate your patience on that. Also, we had numerous people from our online church express concerns about the volcano eruptions and the earthquakes. So I posted on social media that we're thankful for the concerns. However, we're on the island of Oahu and are unaffected. But please pray for the big island of Hawaii and those affected. But also, please don't forget about Kauai either. They're still reeling from the devastating historic record floods that hit. It's believed that it's going to take months and probably even a year, should the Lord tarry, to recover at least in part from the devastation. So please pray for those islands specifically. All right, let's get to our prophecy update. Probably goes without saying, but this last week was a very busy week in terms of Bible prophecy, and it seems that it's going to get even busier in the days and weeks ahead, especially upcoming this week. I want to talk about the significant developments from just the last few days, and in the interest of time, I'll zero in on three of what I see as being the biggest and most significant of those developments. I'm sure you heard about this. I'm going to begin with this breaking Israel news report concerning Israel's stunning, and I mean stunning, discovery and covert mission to capture some 55,000 documents proving that Iran is brazenly lying when it says it never had nuclear weapons or a nuclear weapon program. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu delivered a breathtaking and jaw-dropping speech. For those of you who watched it, it was gripping. I mean, he takes these coverings and takes them off of all of these files and documents and discs, everything containing and showing this cache full of incriminating documents, charts, presentations, blueprints, photos, videos, and more. I was reading up on this whole effort, and it was astonishing. They actually snuck into Iran, Israel did, and got a hold of all of these documents and take them back. Did you hear about this? You're looking at me like, when did this happen? Oh my goodness. Monday night in Israel, he delivers this speech and he's showing all of these documents, all of these videos, all of these photos of all of this nuclear weapons program that Iran had and it's believed still has. And of course, everybody went crazy over this. And you got to love Twitter. I mean, I went to my Twitter feed and I couldn't take it anymore, some of the stuff that was going back and forth. But the article goes on to say, in his speech, Netanyahu noted that Israel shared the information on Iran with the United States and, very important, He believes, Netanyahu believes, that U.S. President Trump will do the right thing, quote unquote, on the May 12 deadline regarding whether or not he will pull out of the nuclear accord. What timing for Israel to do this and then reveal this? On Friday, Fox News published an op-ed piece about how the Iran nuclear deal is already dead. And it's dead because Iran killed it. The writer suggests that there is no need for President Trump to even announce that the United States is pulling out of the deal. This because Iran killed the agreement through its own willful actions and blatant lies even before the deal was officially implemented on January 16th of 2016. He goes on to say that Monday's revelation by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu should be a game changer. That's quite the understatement. Game changer or not, fix or nix the deal or not, according to this Ynet News report, Russia is making it very clear in no uncertain terms that it would deem any changes to the Iran nuclear deal unacceptable. Now, yesterday, the Times of Israel had an interesting article about how the rest of the world will be thrust into uncharted territory if Trump follows through on his threat to pull out of the Iran nuclear deal on May 12th, which, by the way, is Saturday, this Saturday. So all eyes are on this nuclear deal, which it's believed Trump will pull out of, and it's going to be very interesting to see what happens when and if he does. This brings us to and ties in with the second development, which is that of Trump's long-anticipated peace plan concerning Jerusalem. On Friday, Arut Sheva published an article about a new report that says Trump's peace plan will include Israel gifting four Jerusalem neighborhoods to the Palestinians. These neighborhoods would then, it's believed, form the capital of a future Palestinian state. Under the plan, Jerusalem's old city would be recognized as international territory. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. The Jerusalem Post also reported on this, adding that the transfer of control over the neighborhoods was presented as just one piece of the larger peace plan the administration has been working on over the last year. Israel would be expected to accept the plan once it is presented, despite the potentially painful concessions. News of the demand come less than 2 weeks before the U.S. Embassy officially moves to Jerusalem on May 14th. That's Monday, a week from tomorrow. The full plan is expected to be unveiled shortly after the embassy moves. Now, this was on Friday, just this morning. The Jerusalem Post had an editorial that echoed something that I've suspected all along as it relates to what Trump's embassy move will cost Israel. What do you mean? Well, I've voiced my concerns about how the ultimate deal maker, President Donald Trump, and the quintessential builder, President Donald Trump, will do anything and stop at nothing to achieve what he dubs the ultimate deal. The ultimate deal. What's the ultimate deal? a peace agreement between the Jews and the Palestinians so that they're living side by side together in peace and security. That's the ultimate deal. And that's Zechariah 12. What's Zechariah 12? Zechariah 12 is a prophecy concerning Jerusalem and how that God will make Jerusalem, the city that he put his name of ownership on, the intoxicating obsession of the entire world. The entire world at the time of the end will be intoxicated with, obsessed with, dividing Jerusalem to create this two-state solution, which I believe is Hitler's final solution repackaged. And the reason I believe that is because this so-called two-state solution is not for the Muslims and so-called Palestinians to have a state with Israel. It is for the destruction of Israel. And this is Islam. This is Muhammad, and this is Saladin after him. Make peace with your enemy, then destroy them. This is textbook. This is what Arafat would say in Arabic when he would get back to Ramallah after being in the United States. He would say in Arabic, peace for us means the destruction of Israel. And they would all cheer. Just like they cheer in Iran today. Death to America. Death to Israel. And that's Ezekiel 38. Last week we revisited our prophecy puzzle and tried to put all the pieces in place. And you have Isaiah 17 concerning Damascus, Syria. You have Ezekiel 38 concerning Russia and Iran and this alliance of nations. And you have Zechariah 12 concerning Jerusalem and the dividing of Jerusalem. And believe you me, I have come under vicious attack. How dare I say anything about the president and dividing Jerusalem? Well, listen. The title of this Jerusalem Post editorial, I think, is apropos and says it all. No such thing as a free lunch. Think about this. President Trump declares Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we applaud that decision. And then abruptly, seemingly suddenly, he announces that we're going to expedite the move of our U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And oh, by the way, we're going to do it on May 14th, the 70th anniversary of the rebirth of the nation of Israel. You don't think that Israel is beholding to President Trump? Remember now, this is the deal. Can I say it that way? Here's the deal, Israel. Look what we're doing for you. Now here's what you need to do in return. Oh. What do we need to do in return? Oh. There are four neighborhoods in Jerusalem that you need to give in return. Oh, that's interesting. Listen to what the writer had to say. What is President Donald Trump planning for Israel? According to a report in the Jerusalem Post and Ma'ariv on Friday, the president's peace plan will ask Israel to withdraw from four Arab neighborhoods in East Jerusalem, likely so they can become the capital of a future Palestinian state. While some U.S. officials have denied the report, it would seem to fit into fears that some on the right have raised in recent months. According to these Israelis, the pending move of the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem on May 14 is part of a larger plan by the administration to get Israel, listen, to reciprocate with concessions of its own. As the saying goes, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Listen, I hope that when U.S. officials deny the report, that means they're not going to do this. I guess we'll see. Soon and very soon. But if they do this, I don't need to tell you. Maybe I do. But it will move forward and inch very close the fulfillment of Zechariah 12 concerning what God will do. I know I've shared this in the past in updates, but perhaps it would be appropriate for me to share it again. And I want to do so by asking this question. Have you ever seen in your lifetime the United States of America as divided as it is today? I'm talking about in our lifetime. Have you ever seen America as divided today as it is now? Okay. What did God declare in Zechariah 12? Did he not say, if you try to divide Jerusalem, I will divide you? You see where I'm going with that? Could it be that because the United States of America has been the most pronounced in seeking to divide Jerusalem, that we are the recipients of that which God had declared, that he will divide us if we try to divide Jerusalem? I pray that Trump does not do this. Well, this brings us to the third development from last week, which was the breaking news from Politico that French President Emmanuel Macron, who was just here, will bring together a 10-nation coalition of the willing, quote-unquote, next month, designed to prepare European armed forces to take action together in emergencies. Let me parenthetically say that the whole world is on standby right now. If Trump pulls out, they've already threatened, all H-E double toothpicks is going to break out. Can I say it like that? I just did. H-E double hockey sticks, whichever you prefer, is going to break out if he pulls out. So they've got all these contingency plans in place. Let me say it this way. Things are about to get real. Really, really real. I know that's not proper English, so don't email me, okay? Things are about to get real. As you might imagine, learning of this caught everyone's attention by virtue of the prophecies in the books of Daniel and Revelation, both of which foretell of a 10-nation coalition coming out of a revived Roman Empire. The symbolism in Revelation is 10 horns, and the symbolism in Daniel are 10 toes. So this is a 10-nation coalition that will come together at the time of the end. In all fairness to those who have been keeping an eye on this Emmanuel Macron, by the way, his name Emmanuel means God with us. Just saying. In all fairness to those who have been watching this guy, he has postured himself as the Roman god Jupiter. Back in July of 2017, he declared that he will govern France like Jupiter, the Roman king of the gods, shortly after officials told the media his thought process was too complex for journalists to understand. Did you see this man and the president last week when he was here? It was uncomfortable, I have to admit. It was really awkward. I mean, well, it doesn't help when in June of last year, The Economist had a front cover with Macron walking on water with the caption, Europe's savior? Now, let me hasten to say that I am in no way suggesting that this man is the Antichrist. I'm only presenting that which God's word tells us will happen once the church is removed in the rapture. The Antichrist will be revealed. There will be this forming of a 10-nation coalition. Revelation 13 describes the Antichrist controlling the entire world, this new world order, if you will, controlling a one-world religion, a one-world economy, and a one-world government. But that can't happen until the church is removed. And the rapture of the church has to happen before the seven-year tribulation. We're going to actually, Lord willing, talk about that upcoming in a future update. I think we would all do well to keep our eye on these and the many other developments of prophetic significance, because everything points to that which we were told in Scripture would happen before it happens at the time of the end. We're seeing it all now begin to come to pass. And for believers, this is very exciting in light of what Jesus said in Luke 21:28 about our redemption drawing near when these things, keyword, begin to come to pass. In other words, when you see things beginning to come to pass that will ultimately find their fulfillment in the seven-year tribulation and they're happening now, how close are we? I would submit that we are closer than many might even begin to imagine. However, for those who are not believers in Jesus Christ, this should rightfully be very alarming. And it should be alarming by virtue of how the time is at hand. If you'll please just hear me out, I want to share the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. For those of you who may be here in this church today or watching online who have never called upon the name of the Lord, I am imploring you, in light of what we see taking place in the world today, in light of seeing and witnessing before our very eyes these prophecies, very specific prophecies, beginning to come to pass exactly, precisely as we're told they would in Scripture, I would implore you to call upon the name of the Lord today and to not put it off any longer. You know, I was thinking about this last week. And, you know, sometimes the question is asked, well, what if you're wrong? What if the rapture isn't as soon as you think? And what if this isn't Daniel and Revelation, this 10-nation coalition? And what if this, you know, embassy move and declaration and neighborhoods in Jerusalem, what if that's not Zechariah 12? And what if this whole nuclear deal with Iran and Russia threatening, and what if that's not Ezekiel 38? At least not right now. What if it's not? And here's the answer to that question. What if it is? No. What if it is? Listen, I would rather be ready and have it not be than not be ready and have it be. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, am I right on that? Wait, yeah. What have you got to lose? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Don't get me started. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul defines what the gospel is, saying that it's of first importance. It's this, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was resurrected from the dead on the third day according to the scriptures, the prophecies about his first coming. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Now, what follows is how to respond. What to do. Simply put, very simply, how to be saved. It's ABC simple. The A is for admit that you're a sinner. Acknowledge your sin and your need for the Savior. Romans 3:10 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. That's the death penalty. We were all born sinners, and as such, we're sentenced to death because of our sin. That's the bad news. We're all born with the death penalty. Here's the good news. Jesus came and paid the death penalty in our stead. That's what we're going to celebrate today with the communion table. That's the good news. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The B is for believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. This is what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And then the C, lastly, is for call upon the name of the Lord, or if you prefer, confess with your mouth. This again is Romans 10, 9 and 10, which also says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And Romans 10:13, lastly, seals the deal. It says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Please stand and we'll pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for telling us what's going to happen before it happens. So when it happens, believers would be encouraged and look up knowing our redemption draws nigh. And believers would wake up and realize that your return is nigh and that the time is at hand. Lord, we're so thankful that you have deemed fit to use this small, obscure church here on the windward side of Oahu to reach by way of the internet the uttermost parts of the earth. And Lord, I believe that someone is watching this video online right now, and you directed them to this video for such a time as this. Lord, I pray that they would open their hearts to you, put their trust in you, and call upon you and be saved today. Lord, thank you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. We understand, but if you're able to stay, we'd certainly encourage you to do so. We're going to partake together of the Lord's table as we do on the first Sunday of each month. And so what we're going to have you do is come up as the worship team leads us in song and get the elements. We have a table in the back as well. They're prepackaged. Take the elements back to your seat and then take your seat and then wait so we can partake together. So go ahead and come on up. We have the account of what we affectionately refer to as the Last Supper. And Luke, by the Holy Spirit, writes that when the hour had come, he, speaking of Jesus, sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." He's about to go to the cross. "For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." It's the second time he says that. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." If you take the packaging and peel back the top, you'll find the bread there. And just take it out and hold on to it for a moment. We hold in our hands a symbol of the body of Jesus Christ. His body broken for us and instead of us, actually fulfilling specifically the Passover prophecy of the Passover lamb. Jesus fulfilled as our Passover lamb that prophecy. Because you see, the lamb had to be inspected for 4 days to be found without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle for the Israelites there in Egypt, in order for that angel of death to pass over them, they had to take a lamb, an innocent lamb, which would foretell of the one who would come, the Lamb of God, that would be slain for all of us. And they would take, after inspecting for 4 days, which was exactly the amount of time that Jesus was on trial for, 4 days, found without spot, without blemish, without sin. Unleavened. Leaven in the scripture and typology is a picture of sin. He was without sin, without leaven. And when that lamb was found to be without blemish, they would take then and break the body, the skin, not the bones. There was another prophecy, very specific, that none of the bones could be broken. You know, throughout all that Jesus suffered, not one of his bones was broken. Only his body, the skin, in order for the blood to come out. That's what we're celebrating here today, is his body broken for us. Would you partake with me? Lord, thank you. Thank you for your body broken for us in our stead. Lord, thank you for giving us this to do in remembrance of you. Because in the busyness of our lives, we forget how great a debt was paid for our salvation. Freely offered to us, but it cost you everything. And so, Lord, on this day and at this time, we celebrate and we commemorate your death on the cross for us and instead of us. And we cannot thank you enough for what you did for us. Thank you, Lord. Luke goes on to write, likewise, he, again speaking of Jesus, also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. If you'll take the rest of the packaging and peel it back, you'll find the cup there. And again, just hold on to it for a moment. Now we hold in our hands a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood that was shed in our stead. And here's why. The Bible says that there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Blood had to be shed for the payment of sin, for the remission of sin. Remission meaning removing of sin. See, in the Old Testament, it was only covered, kafar in the Hebrew. It was only a covering over the sin until the one who would come that would completely pay in full for that sin. And that's what we're celebrating today, is the shed blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us on that cross. Again, fulfilling the Passover prophecy. The Israelites were to take a hyssop branch, interesting, and they were to dip it now in that blood of that innocent lamb that they just slit the throat of. And they were to take that blood and they were to put it on their doorposts. At the top, there was a basin at the bottom, on the left and on the right, in the shape of a cross, by the way, so that the angel of death would pass over their house and their firstborn son would not perish. Why? Because the Passover lamb, the firstborn, the only begotten of God, would perish instead. And that's what we're celebrating today. Would you partake with me? And once you do, please stand. Father in heaven, once again, we find it impossible to adequately articulate or communicate just how thankful we are to you for the free gift of eternal life paid in full by your only begotten Son, because you loved us so much that you would send your only begotten Son to die for us and pay in full for us, to purchase us. That whosoever would believe in him would not perish in hell for all eternity, but have everlasting life. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.